Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm broadcasting tonight from the Bright Red Desk on December 14th. It's the day of the eclipse. Da, 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 da. And I'm expecting Mark to arrive. Heather's not going to be joining us tonight. But yeah, we had a big eclipse today. Full total eclipse at 11:16 a.m. this morning, East Coast time. And it kind of indicates a new beginning, a new moon, a new start, a forward motion of sorts, and also an invitation for all of us to step forward on a deeper path into where we're going. And I think I see Mark arriving. I'll click on his little button there and let him in. There he is. He moved. Hi,
hello,
Mark. There, is that you?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Happy eclipse.
Happy eclipse! Happy eclipse! How's it over there on the west side?
Same as on your side. We didn't see it. We didn't see it in New York, and we didn't see it through the clouds. So.
No, I know. Well, it's down in the bottom. It's down in South America is where totality is.
Right.
So. Yeah, we could feel it though. The energetic.
Yeah.
You know, close and open. Yeah.
It's
the shift.
Quiet.
Yeah. Say again?
The city was kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is appropriate.
I find that happens.
Eclipse.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pause. You know, it's kind of a pause in the energy. As the light goes out and then it comes back on again. Yeah. So it's a big new energy, and it's on the south node. Got Mercury next to it, and it's in a closing sextile to the planets, the COVID Capricorn clump or cluster that we've been working with all year. And it kind of heralds a new beginning on some level because this week, you know, they've all broken up. Everybody's moving on. And this week, Jupiter and Saturn both go into air. They take off from Capricorn, the ground, and they start to fly. And then next Monday, when we meet again, they will be forming a union in the heavens and starting a new 20-year cycle. So this is big wrap-up time. What have you been seeing in the world in terms of wrap-ups?
Well, you know, there's this one big wrap-up going on that refuses to wrap up.
I wonder who that would be.
Who would that be? I don't know. It's like the worst of bad sportsmanship.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's being played out at other levels. It usually is. We see it's pretty obvious at the top, but usually at lower levels it happens as well. So for each of us around ourselves, we might see somebody who's having a hard time quitting or being quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we, you know, I mean, I was raised in, not that I was athletic, but I was raised in an athletic family. My grandfather was a coach and a referee, and he scouted for the Cardinals and the Mets, right? So he had a real code of, right and wrong sportsmanship, you know, what was sportsmanship. And then my sister was a basketball coach for 30 years, and she actually lost a game, a playoff game, due to a bad call from a ref, which everybody was like, it was commented on in ESPN, like, boy, that was a bad call, you know, and she took it. They lost the game, you know, it was traveling.
Yeah.
Technically, it was a foul, and they made the shot, you know, so that shot won the game, but it shouldn't have been counted. So, but she took it. She went, okay, bad call. Would have been a championship if she hadn't, you know, but she was raised that, you know, when you lost, you lost. And when I was younger, my parents, my sister, my grandfather, they all golfed, as did my uncle. And my uncle has a little bit of a temper. And he got so mad on a golf course when my mother beat him. He was really badly behaved, and my grandfather came home and he's like, I'm never playing golf with him again. Like, he is a really sore loser. You know, it was his own kid, you know. So
yeah.
you know, and of course, with, you know, in basketball or all the sporting events I attended as a kid, you know, we'd go watch, my grandfather would scout for the Cardinals or the Mets, and we would go watch the teams play. You know, we'd get to go on a trip, and I'd go off with him and my grandmother, and we'd watch a couple games, and then Grandma and I would hang out and paint. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just riding along with Grandma and Grandpa, but, you know, you watch the players, and they would all shake hands at the end, and the coaches would shake hands, and there was, you know, it's called sportsmanship. And then there's bad sport, you know. So I'm like, all right, you know, what are you going to do? You know, stomp and yell. You know, it's hard. It's hard to watch, and it's hard to kind of go, you know, you've had 50 lawsuits and 2 pushes at the Supreme Court, and, you know, if we just get rid of the Electoral College, which is tied to slavery anyway, you lost by 8 million votes. If like, why do we have battleground states? Just make it a popular election, you know. So, but it is, yeah. So it's interesting. But we do have the opportunity now to begin anew, to start again, to kind of move forward in a different way. And this new moon, it's still eclipse season, so there still can be things leaving that are finished and done, but we're moving into this new energy. Next week, we're ending a 20-year cycle, so things that have been around 20 years can leave, and we're kind of starting a whole new chapter, because last time these guys met was in May of 2000, and they began a new 20-year cycle back then. And now they're shifting to start a new 20-year cycle in air at zero Aquarius. So it's big. It's a very powerful, energetic time. People are feeling really tired. People are feeling very emotional. It is an eclipse. It brings up stuff emotionally, brings up stuff from December of 2001, December of 1982, December of 1963. So those are all big, big emotional times, you know, certainly in the world. It was after the Kennedy assassination and Iran-Contra and then 9/11. So we're, you know, it's a critical turning point time for all of us. So part of it is that energy as we shift from earth to air, it gets a lot lighter, a lot lighter. We're going to feel much less bogged down, and we're going to be asked to really be more focused on what is our vision. What is it we want to create? You know, Saturn likes being in Aquarius because it's his co-ruler, but Jupiter really is going to be happy to get out of Capricorn, because he's a sky god and he's been earthbound for a year. So he's like, oh, thank heavens, I can go fly again. You know, let me take off and head off for parts unknown. So
yeah,
and he and Saturn get married
Saturn,
next. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Saturn won't mind going to air either, because Saturn rules Capricorn and Aquarius, so
right.
It's not a big adjustment for Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
So with Jupiter feeling lighter and Saturn feeling more intellectual, it should make a good change. A good change away from all the COVID fear.
Yes. And an understanding, you know, because Capricorn is also a rock, right? And Aquarius is an air sign. It's fixed air, you know, but it's air, you know. So it can be a little opinionated about stuff, too. But it's got an energy of shifting and changing. So it's big stuff. Yeah. And we also have almost every planet in the sky changing signs this week. The only one that's not changing is Mars, right? Mercury goes into Capricorn. Sun goes into Capricorn, Venus goes out of Sagittarius into out of Scorpio into Sagittarius.
No, out of Scorpio, yeah.
Out of Scorpio into Sag. Yeah, Jupiter goes into air, Saturn goes into air, and I think one of the asteroids goes into air. I think Athena goes into a Sagittarius. But yeah, it's like a lot of shifting up there.
Juno,
in the sky. Juno, that's who it
Juno.
Is. Okay, yeah. Juno out of Scorpio, and it was one of the girls out of Scorpio into Vision. So when you see that much change in the sky, what do you think the week's going to be like?
I think it's going to feel refreshing, this particular set of changes. Refreshing and with a sense of renewal. Like, I think people will be anticipating good changes. You know, sometimes we cringe and back away from change. But
say again? I missed it.
Sometimes
you
we
broke up
cringe the... away from change. And
right.
Now I feel like this particular set of changes will feel like an anticipation. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I can't wait to see this play out.
Mm-hmm. How's this going to come in? What's it going to do? What's it going to feel like? Which is really, you know, good because we're ready for it, I think. A lot of people are, you know, kind of tired and feeling, ugh, more. And it's like, well, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more and then it changes.
Yeah.
And also as a new moon energy, or I'm sorry, as an eclipse energy, this has us go back to what began in June last month, June of this earlier this year, because sometimes things come to light in June that now we kind of resolve and follow up with in a different way when we're in this time, because it kind of closes that story up. It opens up a new story, but it clicks us into a different direction. So it's actually, I think, pretty positive. I think most people, once we get the, you know, I always find when planets change signs a little bumpy, you know, because whatever sign they're in, they're leaving and going into a sign that doesn't like or compensates for the sign that it was just in, you know. So, like, Leo goes into Virgo, so Leo is, oh, play, 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 and Virgo goes, now we have to go back to work, right? And then Virgo's a solitary sign, work, work, work. And when it goes into Libra, it goes, all right, now I got to have a relationship. I got a partner. I got to communicate. No more being the servant. I got to have an equal partnership. So as they shift, we get a different feel. So Mercury in Sag is bluster, bluff, yell, scream. Goes into Capricorn. It's very precise, controlled, direct, you know, no. It's not like, well, you know, I'm not really sure that that's going to work for us. I don't, you know, I know it's important to you, but it's a, you know, no, Capricorn, right?
Yeah.
And then same with Sun and Sag, all over the place. Capricorn is like, no, or one word. And then Venus and Scorpio, Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction, hot sex in the elevator, you know, boils your bunny if she's mad. Now she goes into Sag. She's a little more free-loving. She's kind of like, oh, I'm a party girl. I want to have a good time. I want to sing. I want to dance. So it's an interesting shift. And, of course, Jupiter not liking being earthbound, in his detriment, actually, or his fall, mm-hmm. I think it is. And now he gets to fly. And, of course, Saturn kind of goes, all right, we built the structures. Now we're going to look at what their service is to the greater good or not. And we'll work that way. So they all shift. Instead of my stuff, my accomplishments, Saturn and Capricorn, now it's what's the accomplishments, what's the greater accomplishments for the greater group. So it really is a real sea change energetically. And if we know that, you know, it just makes life a little easier because we're going to feel that turbulent change this week. So. And then Mars is hanging out with Eris, the goddess of discord, so she's kind of mad.
Yeah.
She and Mars are plotting. I mean, the brother and the sister are hanging out, so I'm like, ooh, that could be a little bit of a dicey energy, you know. And we'll go from there.
Venus going into Sag. Never mind Mars and Eris. You know,
yeah, hang out with Venus. She's more fun. She's a party girl. She's like, I want a party. And, of course, they're locking everybody up. But right now she's answering to Jupiter and Capricorn. So she's going to have to abide by it. But then she's going to find the private parties when Jupiter goes into Aquarius. So it's all the change, all good, all moving forward. So we have quite a few listeners. So why don't we take some calls, unless you have something else you wanted to add?
No, I think we're pretty well up to date.
Okay, cool. All righty. So we will start with, maybe if it clicks. Hey, hi, 530307. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi, my birthday is June 26, 1959. I was born
June
26?
Nope, June 26, 1959. Yep, uh-huh.
Born in Los Angeles, California,
mm-hmm.
at 8:18 p.m.
8:18 18 p.m. And what is your question?
I would like to know how 2021 looks for me.
Okay. Any specific area or just a general kind of overview?
Kind of a general, yeah.
Okay, all right. So what we're going to have, kind of the feature of next year, is we're going to have a Uranus-Saturn square, right? We're going to have three of them, which when we talk pandemics, that kind of is like the renaissance after all the loss or the change. And you have Uranus in your relationship house, and you have Saturn in your house of you, right? So you're going to be working with those two energies, and then Uranus is going to be going in, transiting through your foundation part of your chart, and Saturn's going to be transiting through the house of you. So with that in mind, this is going to be a lot of changes around your foundation, your purpose, why you're here, what that next chapter is. As Uranus comes in to square your Uranus, because you're born in 59, at 21 you have an opening square, at 42 you had the opposition, and now you have the closing square, which says to you the best of 21 and the best of 42, put it together. What's the new foundation you want to build? So that's an important time. And because you're a Sun Saturn, you tend to be a bit serious. So the Saturn Pluto in your chart or trine, and those two guys just started a big new cycle this year in the house of you. And they're aspecting your Jupiter. So they're kind of saying to you, what are the unlived plans? What are the things next for you to do? And a lot of times your chart will choose work or taking care of other people. And we often say to Capricorn risings, gee, the back half of life is the best half because the beginning parts can be a little hard. So this next best half, this next 20 years, what is it you haven't done that you feel inspired by? Where is your enthusiasm? What calls you? And so that's the theme for the next chapter, is finding that next chapter of enthusiasm and rolling towards it, I think, with the idea being harnessing this new energy around, you know, what you haven't done yet that you'd like to do. Because this next couple months, as Saturn squares your Neptune and Uranus comes in to square your Uranus, you're going to be feeling like I'm a little restless. Sometimes it's a move, too, if you don't live in L.A. anymore. But sometimes it's just I'm really feeling like I need to fundamentally change the foundation, which you've been feeling off and on since last year, but at the beginning of this year, end of last year. But now it's like, okay, now I'm ready to put it in place. Mark, what do you see?
So I started my own business in June, although it's personal training business, and it's one-on-one, and so it's been going since June 1st of 2020, and it's been going really good. I've been in that field my whole life, but it's just, this is my first time I've owned my own studio, and I love it. And I just wanted to kind of see how that was, if that was going to continue to prosper or if there's some changes. And
I think it looks really positive.
Note.
Mark?
It's a good meld of your intuitive approach to things. You know, at the end of the day, you can sit back and realize that you've made a lot of decisions just intuitively, and they worked out. And the more end of the day you have like that, the better things go.
Right.
So, yeah. Go ahead and rely on that intuitive. You know, what comes next is what feels right.
Nice. Do you see anything for my relationship? I haven't really been in a relationship for a while, but I've been pretty busy working.
Yeah, I think part of you've got your progressed Sun coming to your Pluto in the next 4 months. So I would want to, I think that would be a good time, you know, for it. And also a lot of times with Saturn in the first house, especially as he meets up with Jupiter, he's going to make a very positive aspect in your chart to what are the hopes and dreams that you want to pull in. So this is a really profound time. The eclipses right on your progressive midheaven. So it's a lot of energy around, you know, what is the dream unfulfilled? So I would say, yeah, you've got good aspects, plus your progressive ascendant comes to your moon in about a year and 3 months, which often represents kind of a nesting energy. So right now the moon's in Gemini in your sixth house, so it does look like it's kind of a work-focused time. But I think once that moon migrates into Cancer, which is going to be in about 12 months, you've got a real nice relationship. I think you're right. You've been really working. And when Saturn gets to your second house, which is in December of next year, and the moon in 12 months gets into Cancer, which is I want to build a nest, and it comes to your sun and you have a new moon, I think those are really good times for a relationship. But this year just looks like it's a lot of work. You're focused on building your business, which I think is really the right place to be, with the idea being, and then once that's up, then I want to do this. So I think it looks positive. Mark, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, that timing sounds right. And it's, again, something that will feel right. You're going to feel right about putting things together with the work and your own studio. And then when it's time to share your life a little more, that'll be more established and you'll feel
right.
Solid. And feeling solid will help you to reach out.
The nodes of fate go into the house of love affairs in the spring. So I would look at the springtime as a good opportunity for somebody to be coming in that you would be like, oh, this could be fun. I could play with you. So it looks positive. I mean, it looks like a fun, full steam ahead, have a good time, go for it kind of energy, you know, which is always nice to have a happy report. So congratulations on your business. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
And
okay,
I
want to
say I'm sorry about your kitty.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Okay. He came in and he was born in May of 2000, you know, so I've had him 20 years. Yeah.
A long time.
And we're adjusting. We're hanging in there. Remo and I are doing okay. But it's a little weird,
good.
You know. It's like you have all these little routines. Yeah. End of an era, you know. He used to boss me around a lot, so I guess I have my own business now, too. You know, because he's not yelling at me every day like, all right, feed me, you know. So that's good. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Take care and have a blessed holiday season. All right. Trying another one. We got room for two today, Mark.
Good.
Hi, 949872. You're on the air. How are you?
Good. How are you, Anne? How are you, Mark?
Good. Thanks for calling me.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I've listened to you a lot, and I've just been following a lot of what you're telling me. And so I'll quickly give you my birthday. I am February 18th, 1975, born at 4:04 p.m.
What day? Wait, you broke up. February what day, 1975?
Yeah, 19th, 1975.
19th, okay, great. And time?
Yeah. 4:04 p.m. in Huntington Park, California.
Okay. California's weighing in today. Huntington.
Yeah.
Park. All right. Cool. And what's your question? February 19th, 75, 4:04 in the afternoon.
Yep, exactly. My question is, boy, my chart's lit up like a Christmas tree. Right. I've had a pretty nasty transit with Mars these last 6 months. The square is almost exact. I have gone through tremendous challenges with work where I'm doing really well and just working so hard. And we went through a merger. We just finished our second acquisition and two layoffs. I mean, in the same business. It's crazy. What's interesting, so I've retained my job, which I'm super grateful for. And of course, during all this, I'm feeling very restless. I want to follow my dream. This is not the time to follow my dream. And so right now, I just feel grateful to have a job, to have healthcare. And that last eclipse, not the one that hit today, but the lunar eclipse was right on my moon, I think. So
on your moon and your Neptune, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what can I do with that? How do I work with that energy? And I'm somewhere between going, I think that just really activated some things, and the other side of me is like, I don't know, that could be a bad sign.
Well, you're born with the Gemini Sag nodes, right? So you're having what we call a nodal reversal. So I'm going to say, yes, it activated stuff, and it's like, no. And we're going to watch and see what happens when we have the next eclipse in June. Because whatever got seeded on this one kind of woke up something really important in you, and the nodes are going to be going through your career house, coming to your moon over the next, you know, because they go backwards through the zodiac. And the node for the eclipse was right on your progressed midheaven. So chart's really feeling like, oh, I got to do something. Now, the work situation looks great because those planets are in the sixth house until next fall, right? So, you know, Saturn is going to get up. Jupiter is going to get out of Aquarius into Pisces in the spring. So I think the restlessness you're feeling in about 4 months, your progressed moon, which is an important planet for you because it's tied to your Saturn and what the structures are in your life. In about 4 months, the moon hits Mars. So the Mars that you've been working with now, which has been really active, you're going to feel like, okay, I'm ready to take action on it. And then we'll see what happens then when that progressed moon hits Mars, because that's like, okay, foundation change, direction change. But because the nodes are reversed, a lot of times what it feels like is kind of a giant swirling energy, like I can feel it swirling, but I don't really know where it's going yet. I can just feel it moving. Yeah. And so I always say to people, yeah, you're feeling it moving. Don't feel you need to take action. Just pay attention to what shows up, what comes in that you go, oh, that's what that's for, right? And so it's an energy of awakening, and you did get through the mergers good. The Pluto is off your Mars. He's stationed at 21 in the house of workplace, yes. Coworkers. And yeah, so you should be good with the work physical, you know, the physical job. But I would be watching for what the new thing is that the nodal reversal wants to bring you. But it activated last week, 2 weeks ago on the full moon, but when we get to next spring, it's right on your stuff again, and it's right on your nodes. So it's kind of like the warning, you know, the little missile ran over your ear, and you went, oh, something's coming. I can feel it coming. I don't know what it is yet. Yeah. And I'm going to say, yeah, you don't, but it's coming in, you know. And also now Uranus is on your side of the chart for the rest of your life. So when he goes direct in January, because Aquarius rules your relationships with others as well as your workplace, when he goes direct, we'll see what happens. Plus, he's coming to square your Mercury, and Mercury rules your node of fate and your moon. So I would anticipate, like, next spring, maybe even as soon as February timeframe, your chart could be like, okay, I'm ready for a new gig. Because you have a trine between Saturn and Uranus, and next year they're fighting three times, arguing three times. One of them is February 17th, one is June, and then the last one's in December. So those can also give you an invitation to, hey, leave, hey, let's go. And they're right on the one in June is right on your angles. It's at 11 Aquarius. You know, Saturn will be at 11 Aquarius, and Uranus will be in your career house. So I think those can definitely kind of pop you out. Mark, what do you see?
Whenever you feel an urge to say something, to communicate with people, go ahead and give yourself a little test. Ask yourself, is this for everybody? And if it's something that will help everyone around you, go ahead and really push your idea. You often get ideas that are the right thing, but you have to know that it is. And the way to figure that out is it going to help everybody? And a lot of times you see things that will help everybody, but they don't see it, and that's why you're there.
Very cool.
Yeah, you're there to illuminate them.
Yeah, I do feel like that's – I feel like I'm a little flashlight, like where I just – I'm the idea person where I go, hey, did you think of that? Did you think of that? And I'm that person.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Very much. So trust
very much
flash,
so, like, and even more so this year.
Yeah.
So it's good, especially with all the chaos around the workplace. You know, you're kind of like, I know how to work. I know how to navigate this. I know how to work through this. And I'm in a pretty good position to do it. So, okay, let me just come up with great ideas. The Renaissance is coming, right? That's the next step after all this transformation. So what are we going to build out of it? So it looks good.
And I want to thank you. Yeah, I want to do something with the energy and just not, you know, get caught up in the swirls and, you know, because I just feel so much. It's like, okay, you know, how do I direct this?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I hear you. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I mean, you have good gut, so I wouldn't worry about that part. Your instincts are pretty good, and also with your Moon Gemini opposition, you often know quite what the right word is to say, because of that, you know, like an intuitive understanding of stuff. And then, of course, your Mercury is in Aquarius, so when you say it, it goes right in. They kind of go, wow, like I really heard that, and you're like, yeah. And then they're kind of like, you think? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, okay. You know, it's that illuminating, you know, that little, to your point, I'm like a little flashlight. You are. That's a very good analogy for your chart.
It is.
You turn the flashlight, remember when you were a kid in the dark and you turn the flashlight off and on? And then it would come on and everybody go, oh, the flashlight would go off. It's that kind of thing. And, of course, here we are on Eclipse talking about the flashlight. So,
Right.
Yeah. Ironic. Yeah.
Good. So have a great holiday season. Yeah, forward you go.
Yeah, you too. And I'm glad to hear you're feeling better, Mark. You stay safe. I'm sorry for your cat, Anne. And I just really appreciate how much energy you put out into the world to help others. And thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you for thanking me. Thank you for thanking us. We love doing this. It's like a half an hour of, go call in with your question. We can have a good time. So, yeah. And Max, you know, we had a good opportunity. I mean, I knew my chart, I knew his chart, I knew Remo's chart. So I kind of was like, all right, you know, when's it going to happen? But it's not, you know, it's going to happen. So we had a good opportunity to say goodbye. So no regrets. Yeah. And I told him to come back whenever he wants, you know. So hopefully he returns again. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to hang up now and head off into the night in our respective homes. It's Ann Ortley signing off here from the Bright Red Desk.
And Mark Wilkes over by the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
And see you next week.
Yeah, and we wish you all a good week. Remember, it's a little turbulent out there, so ride the waves. Be careful. If you fall off, just remember, head down the river with your head. Feet down the river, looking to see for the big rocks, and then we'll all get back in the boat again around the bend. So have a good week, Ann Ortley. And Heather will be back next week, and we wish you a good, you know, Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah. We wish you a good Hanukkah and holidays. So take care. Bye. Bye, all. Bye, Mark. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. All right. Bye.